And we're talking about the future of crosswords. I don't know how good you are. I don't know how you're doing with some of our clues. We have a real-life crossword compiler, Mark Brennan, on the line. Nobody's called with the alternative name for a crossword compiler, which is a cruciverbalist. Mark Brennan is a cruciverbalist, and he joins me now. Hello, Mark.
Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning. Now, I'm not going to ask you to see if you can guess this, but I'm going to read it to you and just say yes or no if you know the answer. Sailor climbing brown palm.
Yes, actually, I did get that one.
You did?
Yes.
That's good.
I liked Asti, though. That was a cut above with the N missing. That one.
Yeah, Jan did very well to get that so quickly.
She did.
Now, why did you become a crossword compiler?
Oh, that was just a complete fluke. I was in the right place at the right time. It was a big career change. I was a musician at the time. And actually, my last job was as Donovan's lead guitarist, and he had the first of his comebacks back in 1990. And I wanted to do something else because I wanted music to be sort of fun still, and it was getting a bit session-y. So I went to work in a local press agency. I had a very small part-time job as a proofreader. And within all of 2 weeks, one of their main compilers disappeared, rather conveniently. So they had to turn to me and say, do you fancy trying your hand at that? Of course, I said yes, and that was nearly 30 years ago now.
And how easy was it for you to start compiling cryptic crossword clues?
Well, I've always been doing them. You have to sort of be grounded in them. I don't think you can sort of pick them up in a couple of weeks. You have to, I mean, not just know how these things work and have that sort of lateral way of thinking, but, you know, there's a certain amount of sort of codes and things. You have to know, for instance, as your last caller did, that small would just be an S. There's a whole load of abbreviations and codes and things. So, you know, it was there, but actually constructing them, you know, that's a bit of a step and took a little while to pick up.
Could you, just for my listeners, and you might actually pick up some clues for the clues that I'm going to be giving out, could you give us a little lesson in some of those little codes that you can look out for?
Well, obviously, the first thing to look out for is any anagram indicators, like mad or confused or deranged or things like that. It's good to know, I think, that a clue will always have a definition part either at the beginning or the end. You can't hide that in the middle. That can be quite useful.
So it's always either at the beginning or the end?
Yes. Like, you know, in the Asti one, you had drink, which was, I think, at the beginning.
Yes, drink from a small can briefly.
Yeah. So, you know, it was either going to be briefly or it was going to be drink was going to be the definition part. Because there's always a definition part and then the other part that sort of makes up the bits, like the AS and the TI. And basically, the only information or the only clue I can give you is don't ever read the sentence as a sentence. Because once you try and, you know, make sense out of it as such, then you're lost.
Just to help my listeners a little bit, can you give us the codes for sailors and also an artist, because they're quite common ones, aren't they?
Artist is usually RA.
Why?
Royal Academy.
Royal Academy, okay.
Sailor, well, do you want me to go through those? Because that might give this one away. Your last clue?
You can tell me what a sailor is in crosswords, and that might help people, but
okay.
I don't think...
Well, there's a few. There's AB for able-bodied seaman. There's TAR, which is an old word for a sailor. They're the most common ones.
Okay. And any others like that that you can give us?
There's loads. I mean, if you look at if you try and do the word S, for instance, it could be school. It could be whatever you had there. Small. It could be September. It could be school. It could be bend for an S bend. The best thing to do if you're interested in getting into that is just pick a dictionary up and look at the beginning of each letter's entry, because there will be a list of anything possible that letter could stand for.
Okay, and what about points of the compass? How are they indicated within a clue?
They can be direction, they can be bearing, they can be point, anything that any synonym for something like that. There's hundreds of different ways you can say that.
Now, you're there compiling crosswords. Which crosswords do you compile for?
At the moment, I'm doing the Express Crusaders. I'm doing some for the Mirrors. I'm doing some for the Sunday Telegraph. I do a quiz for the Mail. I do the BBC Focus magazine. But over the years, you know, I've done the Mail, the Sun, the Express, the Star, the News of the World. I did the last News of the World puzzle. That was quite fun, the one that came out of the very last edition. which was a bit of a conspiracy theory there, because there was all sort of rumours going around that it was supposed to contain all sort of vitriolic references to Rebecca Brooks, which is quite fun, which is, of course, nonsense, because, you know, it was submitted weeks before, and it was quite a sudden announcement, if you remember. It was actually the week itself that it was going to be the last edition.
Yeah.
So there's no way that would have been done. But there was even a clue in there, which was, if I remember rightly, "Woman stares wildly at calamity," which they thought was to do with that picture that was always accompanying that story of Rebecca Brooks looking rather mournfully through this rain-spattered taxi window as she drove away from the office at the last time. Complete rubbish, of course. But
"Woman stares wildly at calamity," what was that?
A disaster. It's eye and then an anagram of stairs.
Got you.
Disaster.
Now, my mum is, she's taught me, she's tried to teach me to do crosswords.
I have it the other way around. I'm desperately trying to teach my mum. She's really keen to find how. She's even going to a class. There are classes for cryptic crosswords.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, my mum does the Sunday Times, the prize ones, the Telegraph, and she even gets friends to give her crosswords. She's brilliant at them.
Wow.
But she reckons she can spot different compilers.
Yes, they do have. Certainly when you get to a certain level, it's to do with the lateral thinking. Once you start to get into the lateral thinking bit, then the individuality of the compiler will come through, yes.
And do you earn a good living from it?
Not particularly, no. I think diversifying is a good idea. I mean, on that level, my first novel, The Foggiest Notion, has just been published, which coincidentally is a rather surreal adventure story about a middle-aged man trapped inside a crossword puzzle. Can't imagine where I got that idea from.
Wow, what's it called? The Foggiest Notion?
Foggiest Notion, yes. Out now.
By Mark Brennan.
Bremen.
Bremen, B-R-E-M-A-N.
That's me.
Wow, sounds fantastic.
Fun book.
How's it gone down?
Well, it's just come out, so that's the jury's out.
Okay. Well, I'm sure my listeners will get their hands on that. The Foggiest Notion by my guest right now, Mark Bremen, B-R-E-M for mother, A-N.
Thank you very much.
People are warning, though, that robots will take over from cruciverbalists such as yourself, crossword compilers like you.
Yes, well, there is already software out there that will generate a quick, straight puzzle in seconds. And I think it is only going to be a matter of time before someone comes up with a program that is sufficiently sort of following the rules and conventions for a newspaper to say, well, why are we paying someone to do this? I don't think they will actually match the human compiler as far as the imagination and the wit goes. But, you know, crosswords appear in newspapers. Newspapers are struggling at the moment and cutting corners as best they can. And I think it really is only a matter of time before someone comes up with a program that is close enough for a newspaper to go, you know, what the hell, you know, we don't need to pay someone to do this anymore.
We are going to be talking about the future of newspapers on this particular show.
Okay.
You've worked in print journalism for 30 years.
Yep.
Why do you think the printed newspaper is possibly on the way out?
It's a difficult one. I mean, I can't imagine that it will ever fade altogether, because I think, you know, you've got the same argument with the e-books. You know, as soon as e-books came out, everyone's going to go, oh, you know, the book is dead. No one's going to. And of course, you know, if anything, at the moment, there seems to be a backlash, and the reverse is true. And they seem to be living quite happily alongside each other. But I think it is purely the rise and convenience of the internet. It's as simple as that. Everything's going online now. So, you know, it's going to make a lot more sense for the papers themselves. You can see with a lot of them now, even online, they're starting to charge, which I don't know, maybe with any luck, that will drive people back to picking up a physical copy. You never know your luck.
There's nothing like a physical newspaper your coffee in the morning.
Especially if you're filling a crossword puzzle.
Yeah, and you can listen to the radio at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah,
no,
which
it's
most
a win-win,
of
isn't it?
All of my listeners will be doing diligently. Again, the wonderful thing about talking to you this morning is that from now on, lovers of crosswords will realise that the compilers can't really earn a living doing just that. So they've done all sorts of things. And you mentioned at the start of this chat that you were Donovan's lead guitarist.
Mm.
Where did you play with him? What was the biggest gig you did?
The biggest gig would have been Wembley Arena. That doesn't get a lot bigger than that.
What's that like, staring out into that huge sea of faces?
Well, do you know, funnily enough, it's less daunting than playing, say, you know, the 100 Club or the Dublin Castle.
Yeah.
Because you've got all these faces sort of feet away from you. and you can see their expressions and you can sort of interact with them more. I found doing those, I can't remember how many thousands there were in there, but it just becomes a sort of faceless mass. You don't really see them as individuals anymore. So in that sense, it was actually easier.
So which is your favourite Donovan track?
Probably still Sunshine Superman, I think. That was the most fun to play.
And did you play on that album, on the actual track?
No, good Lord, no. I mean, he didn't play for a very long time. In fact, I think my immediate predecessor as his lead guitarist was actually Jeff Beck. It went back that far, because he played on all the original sessions, as far as I know. So he would have played on those tracks.
You took over from Jeff Beck?
I know. That sounds good, doesn't it?
Oh, my word. Goodness me, you've stumped me now. My brain is finished for any crossword clues.
Oh, rubbish.
Well, Mark, can you keep in touch with us here at BBC Radio Guernsey? We've loved having you on the JKT show.
Yes, of course I can.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's the wonderful Mark Bremen, who's a cruciverbalist when he's not enjoying music, I think. The ex-lead guitarist for Donovan.